I know that she was going to be. Oh, thank you, Andrea. I know that she was just going to be a few minutes late. So, sure, Commissioner.
So, okay, well, let's get going, and Jenny can catch up with us. So, first of all, we want to welcome our new individuals, Commissioner Scott. Appreciate you, Mike. It's good to see you again.
You too.
As far as that goes, and then Commissioner Wardle, we appreciate your joining our committee as far as this goes. And if any of you have any questions as we go through this, we'd appreciate it. Ask away. There's no problems at all on it. So, but with that, I think everyone that's worked with me before, as far as being in charge of a meeting, I have this golden rule that meetings, any meeting over 59 minutes is way too long. And so our goal is going to be to definitely be less than an hour if possible. So, but I'll turn it over to Andrew and take it from here, Andrew.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'll just for a moment, because we do have some new members of the Budget Committee, I'll just sort of go around with introductions to make sure everybody knows everybody. For efficiency purposes, I'll just do this. So Andrew, right, Executive Director of WFRC. Lovett Baumgartner is our CFO. Wayne Bennion is our Director of Short Range Plans and Programming, and actually works a lot on our federal funding programs, which is the majority of our funding sources. Ned Hacker is our Director of Operations and Special Projects and works with us on everything, including our goals. Andrea Pearson is our executive assistant who staffs and manages these meetings. So that's the staff team that's on here. Mike Caldwell, the mayor of Ogden City, is the chair of the WFRC Budget Committee and also a past chair of the council. He is on vacation this week. He's down in Key West. So we were not expecting him to be participating in this meeting, but I did meet with him separately, review all of the materials that you're going to be, or we sent to you also. So I just want you to know that we did talk with him separately. Commissioner Stevenson, Davis County, of course, is the vice chair of the Budget Committee conducting today's meeting and the immediate past chair of WFRC, Mayor Silvestrini, Mayor of Mill Creek, and current chair of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, and Jeff Scott from Box Elder County, vice chair of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. Mike Newton, Morgan County Commissioner, new member of Wasatch Front Regional Council and the Budget Committee. And even though it says Brian, he goes by Scott Wardle from Tooele County Council. Again, new member of WFRC and the Budget Committee. And we appreciate all of you, but Commissioner Newton, Councilman Wardle, as new members of the committee, we really appreciate your taking the time to jump in here. I'll say Councilman Wardle spent an hour and a half with us last week in an orientation. So he's now thinking, what the heck did I sign up for? These guys have a lot of meetings. So so we really appreciate that. And then, as I noted, Salt Lake County Mayor Jenny Wilson is also going to be is a longtime member of the council, a new member of the Budget Committee. She's going to be joining us shortly.
So, Scott, the first order of business of the Budget Committee is an acronym test. Are you ready?
I can't wait. I've been studying all week.
Yeah. Hey, I'll just note, Councilman Wardle, I saw one acronym that most people wouldn't know on your shirt when you flashed on for a moment, your BEAT NIU. That's Northern Illinois University. Am I right?
That is correct.
We have some shared roots back in the Midwest. So I recognize that from my Chicago days. So that's great. Okay. So as Commissioner Stevenson said, let me go ahead and jump in here. This is a regular meeting of the WFRC Budget Committee. The purpose of this meeting is for you all to review the goals, work program, and budget that are proposed for fiscal year 22 for WFRC. We're on a fiscal year calendar, July through June. With whatever feedback we get from all of you, we can make any modifications necessary to those materials. Then we send them out to the full council, which meets, as you all know, on March 25th. The council can then review and consider them and then release them for public comment. We send them out to the public. We send them actually also to all the COGs in the region and if see if anybody has any feedback or comment. Receiving any of that comment, we then go back to you to see if there's any changes that need to be made. And then the council again in May. And that's when final action happens. So that's our annual process, okay? We've sent all these materials out to you. Andrew had dropped them into the chat, but I'm gonna share my screen and the thought that this will be helpful to everybody. So you let me know if that works for you or if it's more distracting. I don't have to do this, but so what we'll do, my suggestion here, Commissioner Stevenson, is first just look for an action on the approval for the minutes and financial statements and budget expenditure report for the year to date. Those were included in the packet starting at page 40.
Right. So,
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of August 13 and August 8 for the Budget Committee.
Is there a second?
Is that, Mayor, are you making a motion for both of those items or just the minutes right now?
Well, I can make a motion for the check statements too, but I just did the minutes.
Okay.
I'll second the minutes.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes. All in favor say aye or put your hand up.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. Next item.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, to approve the financial statements and check registers for October, November, December 2020 and January 2021. And I'll just indicate to the members of the committee that Commissioner Stevenson, as chair of WFRC, reviewed all those and approved all those before checks were paid for last year, and I've done that for this year.
That is correct on that. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
For those of you that are new to this, just so you know, I probably, with the different things I've chaired and also in the different positions I've served in politically, without a doubt, with what Andrew and his staff does on getting the information out to be reviewed and go through is probably as efficient and points of checking different things are as good as I've seen. So
and transparent as well, where you know they send the stuff out, Andrew reviews it, and then the chair reviews it, so nothing gets paid really until there's an approval.
So with that, there's a motion and a second. All in favor say aye or raise your hands on the screen.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous on that. I guess we're basically to the public comment part that we can just cover real quick. This is the period of time if anyone would like to make a comment with any criticism or any support of us, please step forward and let us know. I doubt there is anybody. So with that, we'll move on down to our action items and we will turn that back to Andrew, as far as that goes.
Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. And Commissioner Stevenson, Mayor Silvestrini, I really appreciate the words of support about our organization and the transparency and efficiency. We strive really, really hard to have a system in place with the use of the public resources that is transparent, and that you all as members of the committee, the whole council and the public can have confidence and trust in the work that we're doing and the way that we're using the public resources. So thank you very much. I will do a walkthrough of these items. And let me say that this is true for me and for all of our staff. We welcome any comments or questions, particularly from the new members of the committee. If there's any items that you're not sure about, feel free to ask. I also, this again goes for me and the staff, if you want to circle back later and go over anything in more detail that you don't want to ask about now, would be more than happy to do that as well. Before we even jump in, there's one important thing that I have to note to everybody. Most of you know this, but Lovett, our CFO, after nearly 25 years working of great service with WFRC. Go ahead, Lovett. Did I get your years wrong?
Yes, 26 years.
But there you go. 26 years with WFRC, as you know, is retiring. And she has a schedule for her retirement that she's gonna work full-time for several months and then go part-time and then ultimately fully retire at the end of October. Right, Lovett? It's in some sense, it's end of an era for WFRC, and it's been an incredible blessing to me for the 10 years I've been at WFRC to have Lovett as our CFO and advisor. She's incredibly good at her job. Now, we have gone through a process, an extensive process, and I'm happy to share with you all, some of you know this already, that we have hired a new, what we are calling comptroller initially, who is going to be joining us on April 1st. His name is Kurt Maurer. He's going to overlap with Lovett for that period of time so that there can be a knowledge transfer from Lovett to Kurt before she retires. And I just have to say, the way that Lovett has handled this is just a model of dedication and professionalism, that she's willing to spend this time with us and pass that information along to Kurt to make sure that we can be seamless in our transition. Once Lovett retires, then we'll be able to evaluate whether we move Kurt to have the title of CFO. I think that's really our intention, but he'll come on as comptroller. He's not with us in this meeting today because we just wanted to share this sort of information with you and see if you had any questions about it. He will join us at the council meeting on March 25th, and then he'll be with us in all of our subsequent budget committee action. I do want to give special appreciation to Commissioner Scott, who has participated with us all along in the process of the hiring and the interviewing and selecting Kurt, and has just really given of himself and his time. And we're so appreciative of his willingness to do that. So Lovett or Commissioner Scott, do you want to make any quick comments about that before we move into the materials?
I would just echo what you said concerning Lovett. It's been just an absolute blessing to have her continue to work through COVID after the initial search, and you know, things kind of took a turn, and it's really made a huge difference and meant a lot to WFRC. So I appreciate that. And having had a chance to visit with Kurt, get to meet him and listen to him a couple of times, I think he'll be a great addition to the WFRC staff. So well done all the way around.
And I would just say that I've been meeting with Kurt over the phone for the last couple of weeks. We've talked about our priorities and you know, where we're going to start, and kind of got that laid out. He is so excited to be here. And I think he's going to be great. I think you guys are going to love him. He's going to fit in really good with us. Smart guy. So
that's great.
Looking forward to working with him.
And Kurt, just so you all know, comes to us from the Uinta Basin. He actually was for several years the CFO of our sister organization, the Uinta Basin Association of Governments. So he knows a lot about the type of work that we do and having multiple funding sources from the federal government and state government, et cetera. And so he's going to be able to hit the ground running. So we're excited about that. His wife and his two young kids, they have wanted to move to the Wasatch Front. And so this is part of the reason. He's just really, really excited about it. So things are, I think we're feeling good. He'd hate to lose Lovett, but wish her well in her retirement and happy to have Kurt coming in. Okay. So budget. Goals, budget, and work program. So we sent all this out to you in your packet. The memo walks through all of this, but I'm going to skip through the memo and I'm going to go right to the goals for the year. What you see here is we have four goals, and let's just note them here: collaboratively advancing the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision as a framework for integrating transportation, land use, and economic development to best address growth-related opportunities and challenges. Side by side with this, of course, is our mission statement and our roles in the region. But then second goal, effectively administer our ongoing plans and programs. The third goal, provide subject matter expertise to federal, state, and local officials and policymakers. And then the fourth goal, strive for organizational excellence. I'll just note to you, you see on the right side here, the Wasatch Choice regional goals. These four goals on the left are for us as an agency for the next year. The Wasatch Choice regional goals are goals that the council adopted a few years ago for the overall desired state of the region. So that's the distinction there. And what we're asking for you to do is to review and take action on the four goals. Now, we thought it'd be helpful to show you not just the goals in isolation, but how have they changed? How are we proposing they change in the next year? What you will notice is that there's a lot of continuity in the goals from 21 to 22. That should not be a surprise as the nature of our work continues over the course of time. But there's a few things I want to highlight. For one, here, of course, is specifically noting that as we are working on the Wasatch Choice vision and supporting you and your communities, one of those elements is, of course, recovering and transitioning from the pandemic. How do we emerge from the pandemic? How does the pandemic change the nature of our region and the work that we do? And so we need to be think about that and be proactive on that. Jump in at any point, anybody, and interrupt me, okay? Second thing here, there's some, you know, just a little wording tweaks here, but on effectively administer our ongoing plans and programs, of course, over the course of the last year, there was a significant focus, I think appropriately, on inclusivity and equity, thinking about that. And so what we've noted here in our goals, as part of, as we look at our plans and programs and how they function, we've added in that we want to do, that we want to promote inclusive engagement in transportation planning processes and equitable access to affordable and reliable transportation options. Now, I want to note that is not the same thing as saying that there's any guaranteed outcome or metric. It is rather that we should be thinking about those topics. Are we involving people around the region in our work, in our discussions? And are we considering that in different parts of the region, we're making sure that people have access to, as it says here, affordable and reliable transportation options? And it should be something that we should be thinking about. I'm not saying we haven't been thinking about it, okay? We have been, but it is, I think it is appropriate. I and all of the team think it is appropriate to actually call that out in our goals. I'll note here that in we always are refining the regional vision, and we're specifically noting, looking at external forces, including pandemic recovery, automation, shared mobility, and telework and e-commerce. Of course, big things that accelerated this year through the pandemic. And then the final point that I would make here, well, we updated some of the projects that we anticipate working on. It's not an it's not an exhaustive list, but I'll note then here at the bottom, in striving for organizational excellence, this adapting for, this is for our office, how we function. I know you all are thinking about this also, as you know, the, as we come towards the light at the end of the tunnel with the pandemic ending. What is the post-pandemic new normal? And how do we strike a balance between utilizing telecommuting for convenience and our office work and our gatherings, while at the same time maintaining that human connection from physical proximity? That's sort of a, maybe a little bit of a wordy way of saying, how do we come back to the office? Like, what, are we in the office all the time? What about our meetings? I remember Commissioner Newton and I talking about this. Commissioner Newton's got a long drive to get to a meeting at WFRC. So should we ask him to make that drive every time he's going to participate in a WFRC meeting? Or does it make sense to do some meetings like this by Zoom? You know, how do we figure all that out? We're all going to have to think about that. We just wanted to acknowledge that's something as an organization we need to be working on. Okay, that's a quick run through of the goals. Commissioner Stevenson, I'll just pause there and see if anybody has any comments or questions. I realized, I'm sorry, there's one other thing I should mention. When I spoke about this with Mayor Caldwell, his comment on the goals was that this point about the Wasatch Choice regional vision, he feels like our work on that is arguably even more important now post-pandemic than it even was before, in part because we have not had a slowdown in growth. We've actually had in some ways an acceleration in growth as we've had these migrants, more increasing in migration from the coasts, more people coming here on our housing price pressures and you know, the impacts of telecommuting and how we grow and how we think about housing and development and economic development and transportation and the role that you all play in the local government sphere of designing your communities, that the Wasatch Choice vision is arguably even more important than it's ever been before. for opportunities of economic growth and development and the risks associated with all of that. So that was the one comment that he had, that we need to double down on working together on implementing the Wasatch Choice regional vision.
Well, okay. I think Andrew also on that, you know, we saw with this transportation bill that was cut back a lot, but that the feeling that's coming, especially from Speaker Wilson, is that, you know, we work more and more on trying to put some of this stuff together and getting some funds there that can support it. So yeah, without a doubt. One comment I would like to make to the committee is that when these goals are created, that there is, it isn't one of these things to where we never look at them again or never talk about them. We will next, at the end of the year, we'll turn around and go through these to see if these things are being accomplished and what we've taken place on that. That's one of the things that Andrew and his staff are very good at, is that when these things are put in place, we talk about them continually. So is there any comments from anybody? Got any questions on any of this? If not, we'll move to the next section. Andrew, was this an action item? I didn't happen to notice that.
Well, no. Well, yes, it is. But the way we set up the agenda is that we can do one action on the goals, work program, and budget.
Okay. So
unless somebody wants to take them separately, we can move on and save the action until the end.
Okay. Looks like to me, let's move on. No one's
all right. Cool. All right. The next thing is the budget. Well, let me mention the work program. We have goals for the agency, and then we have the work program. And Wayne, I always feel a little bad because Wayne spends a lot of time working with all of our staff, putting the detailed work program together. And then we don't talk about it a lot with all of you, but I want to note that the work program is a detailed overview of all of the work that we anticipate doing or that we may be doing in the year to come. And so all of that information was in your packet. It's actually, I don't know, it's 30-ish pages, and it starts here. I'm not intending to spend time on this in this meeting, but it lists in a lot of detail the activities. We actually are required to produce this pursuant to our federal awards. So Wayne, is there anything you want to say about this, the work program?
Nothing to add. The memo has a paragraph summary that's pretty handy. And then there's about 17 pages of additional summary if you care to review it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Wayne. Okay, now let's turn back to the budget. Again, we've sent all this material to you. And the first thing I want to note to you is that, let's see, where are we? Here we are. The first thing I want to note to you is that this is a relatively status quo budget, but for some things that you could anticipate, like what's the impact of COVID on revenues and expenditures, and some variability in our contracting and consulting expenditures. Those are sort of the two things I would note to you as you're looking at this. As a highlight, and feel free to stop me at any point, the first thing I'll point out to you is in here in our source of funds, we present the budget in several ways to you. One way is the source of funds that are supporting our expenditures. I put this on the screen to mostly make a point that federal funds represent the overwhelming majority of our budget. So you look at a total projected budget for 22 of close to $10 million, and more than 70% of that is federal sources. I'll also note it's actually even more than that, because a portion of this item here, dedicated project funds, is actually federal funds that we moved down for a specific project. But the overwhelming majority of our funds comes from federal sources, which is good and bad. It creates some degree of risk, because if we have an interruption in the flow of federal funds, given that our budget is so heavily weighted to the feds, then that could be really problematic. This is the year that Congress is supposed to reauthorize the federal transportation program. And so it's by September 30. Now, we hope they're gonna do that. we believe they will do that. But there is a degree of risk that if they don't get their act together and actually get that authorization done, that there could be a cutoff, a reduction or a cutoff in the flow of federal funding. So I always want to note this to you, how the majority of our funds are federal, which again is good, but it also creates risk for us that we're constantly watching. That's why being involved in the federal work is in one of the reasons it's really important for us. State sources represent a relatively small amount of our budget. We get $140,000 appropriation every year, and then we get some funds from UDOT for the TLC program. And then local sources, there's a mix of things that go into these sources here. The one I would highlight to you is this $326,000 in our budget. That's the money that comes in what you could call dues. It's actually the only dues that we have as an agency. And I'll quickly run down to this table that displays this. There's that same $326,000. And you can see the ratio of contributions from each of the counties in the region, putting in an annual contribution that associates with the number of voting members on the council, which itself associates with roughly the relative share of population. Okay. Now we have a 1.7% increase. That is based on a policy that the council developed several years ago, where we do a 3-year look back. We take a 3-year rolling average retrospectively of CPI increase, and then we apply that to the budget for the next year. So that rolling average gets you to 1.7% contribution. Okay. Okay. That's the revenue side. I'm intending to now move on to the expenditure side, but I'll pause to see if anybody has any questions or comments on the revenue piece before moving on to the expenditure piece. Oh, and I see Mayor Wilson has joined us. Hi, Mayor. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for joining. I'm sorry, I'm sharing screen, so I don't know exactly when you jumped in, but—
No, I know. I've been here for a little bit, but glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate your being here. I do want to note, you're joining now gives me an opportunity to note one other thing about Salt Lake County. Salt Lake County, in addition to putting in regular dues, also is the only county that makes direct contributions into our joint TLC, Transportation and Land Use Connection program. The majority of those funds come from WFRC sources. We get money from UDOT and UTA, and we have a great partnership with Salt Lake County on working on that program. I note that as a way of thanking Mayor Wilson, and also as a way of saying, hey, if any of the other counties want to make additional contributions specifically for TLC, you're certainly welcome to do so. Okay. All right. Are there any questions or comments on the revenue side before we move to expenditures? Okay. Hearing none. As I noted, we present the budget to you in several ways. I think that this is probably the best form to look and see like what's really going on in the WFRC budget, expenditure by function here. And what you see, this is regardless of source of funding, again, the overwhelming majority is federal funds, but you see the line item expenditures and then the four columns representing our actual spending in 2020, totaling $6.5 million. The budget that you as a council adopted for FY21, totaling $11 million, what we actually expect to spend out of that budget this year, 8.2, and then a proposed budget for next year, 9.7. Now, those of you that have been doing this budget stuff with us for a while, recognize, and this is familiar to you, this sort of up-down. Those of you that have not been doing this for a while might say, what the heck is going on here? Why is it jumping up and down so much? So what I want to point out to you is, if you look at this contractual line item, that line represents the overwhelming majority of the swings up and down in the budget. The reason for that, and this is something that we do year by year, is that we budget the full cost of contractual expenditures in 1 year, even though we anticipate that many of our contractual items are going to spread over the course of 2 or even 3 years. It reflects the multi-year nature of our work. So we budget all of the contractual items in 1 year, and then we carry forward revenue from that year for projects that have not completed into the next year. So here, the 2020 actual, when we did that contractual line item originally, when the 2020 budget was adopted, it was actually significantly higher than that. But then every year in October, after the close of the budget year, after Lovett finishes all of the accounting, we then say, okay, what contractual items did not finish in the previous year, and we carry them forward into the 21 year. So that's why this line went up so much. It reflected what was budgeted in 21 plus the carry forward. Now we anticipate that we're not going to spend all of that in 2021. So it's 5.6, but it comes down to 3.4. We may not even expend all of that 3.4. So what's going to happen is, as we finish the year, our actual for 21 will be this amount or lower, and we'll have a carry forward into 22. So when we come back in October, we should anticipate that we will do an amendment and roll forward, carry forward some of that contractual expenditure into 22. This is all planned and organized. I just want to highlight this. I'm spending time on it because we have new members of the budget committee. So I want to point out that's what's this dynamic that's at play. It's mainly for TLC, which is, again, our program where we, in partnership with Salt Lake County UTA, we help local communities in their planning issues around transportation, housing, economic development, et cetera, where we are hiring mainly, the way we're doing this is hiring consultants and working with the communities directly to help them tackle these challenging issues of growth. The other item I want to note to you in this contractual line item is we have a big item. It's about $1.5 million, mainly that we use federal funds for. And that item is for the household travel survey. This is something that we do essentially once a decade, a comprehensive survey of travel behaviors and preferences, where we're actually doing a statistically valid survey, talking to people all over the region. We do this with all the other transportation agencies. That is another region that is budgeted. It was budgeted, a lot of it, in 21, but because of the pandemic, travel behaviors went funky, right? We all know this, in 21. And so we delayed a lot of work for the household travel survey in 21. We pushed it into 22 as we anticipate. We didn't want to survey people and use that as a basis for going forward as everything was in flux with travel. So we delayed that. That shows up in, that was budgeted in 21, but we didn't use that money in 21. We're going to roll that into 22. Okay. So that's on the contractual line item. The other large, I'm just rolling here. So please just anybody jump in at any point with a comment or question. Okay, please. Okay, then the other largest item in the budget, of course, is our salaries and our employee benefits. So we have a full-time staff of 30 employees and 30 terrific employees, I want to note. Our team is awesome and highly collaborative. And I just feel really lucky to have such a great team working with us and working with all of you to support you. But what you see here in the budget is the budget of 4.3 in 21, and this is a rough estimate of where we expect we're going to be in spending in 21. Lovett and I have worked on this. We are likely to come in actually below that number, but that's a rough estimate for this point. What you see reflected here, all of you, when the pandemic hit and we had so much uncertainty early in the year, all of you did cost cutting and cost saving measures. We did as well. We delayed new hiring. We delayed or deferred any compensation modifications. I should have mentioned this before. We delayed or deferred some contractual expenditures, but we, put a clamp down essentially on costs across a whole variety of items in our budget, including the employee costs. So what you see in 22 is essentially the plan to have a return to a post-pandemic norm. the assumption for budget purposes is that expenditures will return to the normal level. So when you see this 19% increase from 21 to 22, what that's reflecting is the assumption that some of the positions that we had vacant this year, we will go ahead and move to fill. We will bring in, as we talked about, Kurt Maurer, Lovett's successor, and she'll continue for several months. So we'll have some planned overlap there. What you'll also note, again, those of you that have been doing this for a while, our standard practice is that we budget for a 5% line item. So of this 19%, 5% is an overall line item increase that represents a cap in employee compensation and benefit and healthcare adjustments. So we see where healthcare costs come in for the year. We have the ability within that overall cap to do some merit or COLA increases. When we do that, and before we do that, we do a review and survey of what is happening with the counties and cities in the region so that we can have consistent, and the state, so that we can have consistency with what you're doing in the aggregate across the region. So that acts as a cap on what we do. And then with the discretion that you've given to me as executive director, we work within that cap and manage that. I want to be really clear that this, the overall line item also acts as a cap. We do not have to spend all of it. And in fact, we routinely don't spend all of it. But generally speaking, that's the way that works. And again, we assume that return to pre-pandemic norms. Before moving on to any of the other line items, are there any questions or comments about the salary and employee benefit line item? I'll also note that there's a lot more detail about all of this in the footnotes to the budget. It is super important to us. I'm repeating myself a little here, but it is super important to us to be transparent to you and to the full council and to the public about how these public resources and dollars are being used, regardless of the source. So I just want to make sure, and either now or at any point, I'm more than happy to talk about this or answer any questions about any of this.
Thank you for the great explanations.
Thank you, appreciate it. Okay, I'm gonna keep rolling, just a few more items here. As you look down at the comparison between 21 and 22, you can see, holy, 1900% increase, 6000% increase. Well, you will see, for example, for travel, the travel line item is the same in the budget from 21 to 22, but we, just like everybody else, just stopped travel in 21. So as part of pandemic adjustment and cost savings, there were several items that we really clamped down on, either intentionally or because we didn't have a choice. And we assume, again, a return to pre-pandemic norms. What's going to happen with travel in FY22? I don't know. Do people travel less because we're still doing things by Zoom? Is there so much pent-up demand that every organization in the country has an in-person conference? I don't know. But we think it's prudent to sort of assume a return to pre-pandemic norms, and we'll see how things go. Again, we don't have to spend it all. It's a budget limit. And then otherwise, we're just budgeting based on our review and Lovett's review of where our expenditure trends are, but largely a lot of consistency from one year to the next. Okay, are there any comments or questions on any of the other line items that you see here in the budget? Well, Commissioner Stevenson, as you're running this meeting, I could talk a long time about this stuff. I certainly don't need to. Actually, maybe I have talked a long time already. I don't need to talk any more than anybody needs me to. I do just want to ask Lovett, as our CFO, is there anything before the committee does any sort of action, is there anything that you think needs to be added or that I missed? Or really for any of our staff, not just Lovett, but Lovett first. Is there anything that should be said that wasn't said?
No, I think you covered it all. When we were preparing this and we started looking at the percent of change columns, it was like, holy crap, you know, how do we explain to folks that, you know, for instance, on the legal, well, we need to have a certain amount budgeted, but we don't spend it unless we have to. And so Those things have happened. Again, things with travel, we just basically stopped, and we're not sure where that's going to go. It might be all or it might be none. It might be some hybrid. So we sort of made a guess at that. And again, as Andrew said, we don't have to spend it if we don't need to. And of course we don't. Our philosophy at the council has always been, at least during my tenure, that we spend conservatively and we budget, not liberally, but we want to make sure that we have enough to do the work that we need to do, but we don't spend any more than we absolutely have to. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you.
No, Andrew, I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the meeting is that, you know, the Wasatch Front, as far as the organization goes and how it's run, how the budget, the entire operation, you know, Mayor Jeff used the word very transparent. Absolutely, it is. I know for some of you that are new on first time on the meetings, and we do appreciate you. And again, Jenny, I miss being able to welcome you, but you know, I think the world of you and appreciate everything. And I always love to argue liberal issues with you, but that's what makes you so wonderful. So, but you know, there, I think as you sit on this committee and watch as we go through the budget with our different meetings, you'll go, yeah, this is actually really, really transparent. These guys are on top of everything, and they watch every nickel and dime that is there. So with that, we could look for a motion to approve the action items at this point, if there are no questions.
I would make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Scott. Your second?
I'll second.
No, I'll second.
I'll go ahead and let Jenny get on the on it. So seconded by Mayor Wilson. All in favor, either say aye or put your hands up on your screen so we can see.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That is unanimous. We appreciate it. Andrew, again, appreciate it. Do you have any other items you'd like to cover?
Yeah, I'll just say one more comment as we and I'm going to stop sharing here. Okay, just one more comment. I mean this in all sincerity. At any point, if you have any questions about anything we do, budget-wise or otherwise, if you have any concerns, please talk to me or any of the staff. I would so much rather that if you have a thought in your mind or a question or concern, that you bring it up rather than sit on it, okay? I'm not, you know, during a meeting, after a meeting, before, anytime. We need your help to do a good job, okay? So please, it's all teamwork. Okay, one other item that's in here, which is item 5 on the agenda, is our auditor selection. And love it. It just occurs to me right now. It says FY21. That's auditing 21, but it's prospective hiring of an auditor. Is that correct?
5 years ago at this time of the year, we sent out some requests for proposals for a five-year proposals from CPA firms, and they chose Karen Hendricks, Stagg and Allen. Now at that time, their first year would have been that they audited would have been 2016.
Okay.
So they audited 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, which okay. was the one we did last summer. Normally we would do that again. When Andrew and I talked, we're going to have our hands full in making a tradition or a transition from me to Kurt. And since my time at Wasatch Front will be limited over the summer, we didn't want to try and train a new auditor and a new CFO or comptroller. So we wanted some continuity there. Karen Hendricks, Stagg and Allen, they know our organization. They know how we do things. So we kind of hope that you'll be okay with us extending. We've talked to them. They're going to keep the price the same that they've been charging over the last 5 years. Unless you guys have any objections, we can certainly go out for proposals. It's just...
So let me ask you a quick question. You know, usually what my experience has been on this is that we basically do go on 5 year periods of time as far as the auditors go. But I know when I was at the city and also here at the county, we've definitely after 5 years, you know, we've rotated out just simply for, you know, protection or whatever as far as it goes. Are you suggesting that we keep these guys on for another 5 years, or we just renew them for 1 year?
1 year.
Okay. I would have absolutely no problem with that. I think that's probably the smartest thing to do. So
I would agree. I think that's prudent for everybody's time, and then go out to RFP after the transition.
So any other questions or comments on that from any of the, with that, then I'd look for a motion that we go ahead.
We actually, Commissioner, sorry to interrupt. We don't view that as an action item. We just wanted to run that by you and make sure you're comfortable with that before we proceed down that path.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Thanks. Love it. Appreciate it. Next item
is director's report. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Andrew. You're up.
Okay. I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt you, Commissioner. The last item is executive director's report. It's 10:48. I'm not going to talk at you for a while. The only thing I would raise to you is, wow, everybody's getting a bunch of money from the federal government. And I don't know, I'm assuming you've all seen these numbers now at this point, but the money that's directly going to cities and counties, we sent out an email this morning that has some information about it, but the numbers are, I'll just say quite staggering. I assume you're all also sorting through at this moment, what are the eligible uses and what are not the eligible uses and what's the plan? So this has nothing to do with WFRC's budget. I'm just bringing it up because it's timely and it deals with finances. So if you all want to talk about that, we can talk about it or not, okay?
Well, it's like I told Andrew and I were talking about this a little earlier this morning, and he was asking me what we felt Davis County was going to do with ours. I told him that we were actually going to save ours so that when China comes to collect, that we can actually turn around and say, hey, here's our, let us be. We're giving you the money back. Now, the rest of you guys, you know what, you can do whatever you want with, but that was kind of what we were thinking about.
You know what, tongue in cheek, I'm thinking the exact same thing. The amount that comes in, it is almost 25% of our county's annual budget. And, we had a hard time spending the last go around. I just think sooner or later, we've got to let the economy run itself. And candidly, I'm not a huge fan of this. I don't know.
So, hey, Jenny, how much money did Salt Lake County get?
It's a lot. I mean, I have a little different perspective. It exceeds the First CARES Act. Our economy was hit hard in the tourism industry, and we put a bunch of critical, recreation projects that our mayors have wanted and we've been negotiating for years. Those were on hold. We will need to, I think, continue to support small business that was impacted. We've done a fair amount in that area. We continue to have a lot of issues with food insecurity. We supported schools. So for a county my size, we'll use the money well. The one thing that's interesting, and I think it bridges a little bit into the economic development mission of Wasatch Front Regional, but we see the funding as an opportunity for low-income housing development and leveraging that. And of course, we're still, the bill passed yesterday. We've been watching it for months, but really only had a sense of our appropriation a couple weeks ago. I worked for a congressman on the budget committee who was a deficit hawk, and I understand the federal debt. I will say, since, Bob, you kindly ribbed my liberalism, I think the tax cut, you got to be a little careful if you were a big supporter of the tax cut a couple years ago, because that drove up the deficit as well. So it's one thing to say, we as public officials, are concerned about this one. I think it would be consistent to say that there was some budget and, some deficit increase on that one as well.
Yeah.
So it's all, for my county, we're excited. I'm thrilled about the housing piece. I'm hoping that the mayors and the county, if we can come up with some good plans, might join as we look at housing stability. It's just a huge issue in our county. And I think if we were to do anything well, it'd be to figure out how to work on that challenge.
Well, Jenny, I'm sure that Mill Creek mayor probably can figure out some way to spend some of that money as far as that goes. So, yeah. Hey, Jenny, do you know whether or not we've been trying to figure out, can we use any of this towards the EMS salaries like we could on the first go around? We haven't been able to discover whether that's allowed or not. Do you know?
I don't yet. We have teams digging through it and we've got a great federal lobbyist. I don't know. I mean, I do think that one of the interesting things about the CARES Act funding previously was the allowable use for all, you know, law enforcement activities. That allowed us to legally wash funds and then build up our general fund balance. And we needed that because we weren't so sure what was going to be provided directly in round two for vaccine distribution. And, you know, we've hired thousands of people to run vaccine initiatives through the health department. In fact, we just did, I want to say, a $20 million transfer into the health department to itemize it out when we had moved that amount into our year or into our 2021 budget. So now it's itemized out a little more that we know where and how we're spending for the vaccine program. So I do think they'll probably, well, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't guess, but my sense is most recovery programs, they'll be pretty broad eligible use.
Yeah, we're hoping that's the case. So, hey, Mayor Jeff, I'm just curious as far as, because Mill Creek would have also gotten a share of this away from the county. Are you guys thinking of some things you're hoping to be able to utilize it for?
You know, we are trying to look at ways that are actually responsive to the pandemic and not to use it. We don't understand fully all the strings and stuff like that. But in our community, we have an underserved population on the west side of refugees, and we're looking at what kind of programs we can do to get them, you know, back. So, you know, I can't say yet. Our share is about, according to the, that could be as much as $6.85 million. So that's a lot of money for in our budget too. So, but anyway, we, you know, I think our council is going to be disciplined to trying to use the money for what it was intended to be used for. So,
Mike, you guys seen a figure up there, Morgan?
I haven't yet.
Let's see. I'll give you your estimated number. $2.35 million directly in Morgan County.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is over a quarter of our budget.
And these funds can be spent through 2024.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys feel this way, but our lift was so heavy this past year that my senior staff are completely exhausted. And we need to hire. So I need to go and convince our council that we can hire 3-year positions with this funding because we just don't have the capacity. We redeployed so many people to COVID purposes, and we need to get them back to arts and culture as we open up our venues and back to the libraries. And our senior staff had to pivot to create really, you know, we had funding, but it's hard in the middle of a pandemic to find a really qualified person who knows our budgets and our municipal or our county operations, et cetera. So we just really relied on our existing senior team. And the idea of this funding is exciting for us, but at the same time, you know, we're thinking just when everybody needs to take a long vacation this summer, we need to create some new programs. So what I hope to do with it is take, you know, a 10% administrative amount or something thereabouts and hire some 3-year positions that get us through 2024. As we create these new programs, I mean, you know, sort of like Jeff Silvestrini's mentioning, how do you reach our communities in need? Do we want to do something? I mean, it really is generationally game changing. And I find it incredibly exciting, but we have to build some capacity around it.
Well, hopefully that it will be very broad, that will allow us. I mean, if they want to stimulate the economy and help people, that's part of what we've got to be able to do, is get that money out there. So, but anyway, we appreciate it. So, and I told Jenny, I told Amy that I was going to come down to one of your meetings. I'd like to come down and meet everybody. I mean, we share a common border. And so I figure my mug ought to be down there at least, so I can smile at you while you're running the meeting. So.
Yeah. And we're starting, we now have council members meeting in person, which is nice. I'm generally there on Tuesdays, and you know, I think, not to get us off point off this conversation that Andrew brought up, but I'm hoping, my attorneys are looking right now, the district attorney, on whether or not I can continue a mask mandate in our facilities, buildings, et cetera, beyond the 10th, or when we hit that threshold. Because if we can do that, then I think we can come back safely and start to, you know, get together. And, you know, I think also we're going to move, I'm told, much quicker in April than we are now with vaccine distribution. We have people sitting around because we thought we were going to get more by now. And I'm thrilled that we're at, you know, probably about 20% of the county population having received the first vaccine. We're probably at 10 or 11% fully vaccinated, but it's too slow. It's just way too slow. So we're wanting more vaccine. We're ready to roll. My big concern on that, by the way, is that where kids won't, I'm told, be eligible for the vaccine until the end of the year or the first of next. And I'm concerned about, you know, we had a fatality of a young person in the state under the age of 14 recently. And, you know, I don't want my kids sick, or yours, or anybody's grandkids, you know. So that's my one concern about that. I think we're at the point we can put people in who want to go watch our symphony. We're opening that up. But I still want us wearing masks for a while until we can get our kids vaccinated.
No, I can't agree with that on that. So, you know, I know we're right at an hour now, and we do appreciate it. Jenny, I'd just like to say one last thing, is that, you know, where, you know, you're the mayor over the largest county in the state, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes to be able to join us and be able to be part of this. It's very important that we all realize the importance of Salt Lake County is to our Wasatch Front Council, and we do appreciate you coming in as far as that goes. So with that, Andrew, is there anything else we need to cover, or is that
for you? I'll echo your thanks for Mayor Wilson, and I'll say it to all of you. You all have busy days and a lot of stuff going on, and it means a lot to me and to the whole team that you're willing to devote so much time to WFRC. You're helping us so that we can help you and our community. So thank you very much, everybody, for your time today. And we've got our full council meeting, March 25th, and we'll do a abbreviated version of this budget discussion at that meeting, presented to them for all their review, and then release for public review. Okay.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I did notice that our next meeting is scheduled for May 13th. Our UAC spring conference was moved from April to, I believe, May 12th and May 13th. So that would be a conflict for several of us.
Well, maybe I'll get with Mayor Silvestrini, and also with Andrew. Let's take a look and see what we need to do as far as that goes. So that would include about half this group. So
yeah, thanks for raising that. You're right. Just Commissioner Scott, it is possible that we won't even need a budget committee meeting if we don't have to make a bunch of changes and we're status quo. But you're right, we can take a look at the date and see if we can figure something out there. So thanks for bringing that up.
Well, okay. A lot of times you guys are there at the meeting, and so if we needed to have an impromptu meeting, we could certainly do it there. So
yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Appreciate everybody.
Okay.
Have a good rest of the day.
Have a good day, everybody. Thanks so much. Okay.